Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. It's Midday Magazine for Thursday, the 16th of March, 2017. I'm Joe Vicnicki with the local news. Sacro Herring Fishery in Sitka Sound goes on two-hour notice tomorrow morning. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game made that announcement yesterday. Two-hour notice starts at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. That means the earliest the fishery could see its first opening is 10 tomorrow. In the annual spring fishery, commercial purse seiners catch herring in the waters right around downtown Sitka. Herring are harvested for their eggs or roe, which are sold in Asia. Fish and Game tries to wait and open the fishery until herring eggs are ripe enough and worth the most on overseas markets. Biologists base this decision on test fishing and aerial surveys to monitor for signs of the fish or spawning activity. The department plans a meeting with fishermen and processors in Sitka at 1 o'clock this afternoon. A state Senate panel wants to eliminate funding for most public broadcasting in Alaska. That puts it in conflict with the House and the governor. Both want to keep the finances flat. Governor Bill Walker's fiscal year 2018 budget proposes spending about $3.5 million for public broadcasting. It includes radio, TV, and ARCS, a rural satellite television channel. That amount made it through the House budget process, but a Senate Finance Committee panel on Tuesday cut most of the money. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman told a Southeast Conference meeting that it's evidence of the split between rail belt lawmakers and those representing smaller communities.
The rural guys, we like it. I mean, even Southeast, Kodiak, Western Alaska, you know, pick your spot. If there's a national disaster, getting some of the local news, it's very critical, but it's a target.
State funding is a significant part of most stations' budgets, including this one's, and also leverages federal funds, which most stations would lose if the cut is passed. The defunding proposal will go before the full Senate Finance Committee before heading to the chamber's floor. And the cut was made by the panel's subcommittee considering the Department of Administration's budget, which includes public broadcasting. It's chaired by Wasilla Republican Senator Mike Dunleavy, who proposed the budget amendments. Second and third members are Rail Belt senators who were in support, and the fourth is Juneau Democrat Dennis Egan, who opposed those cuts. An adult co-ed soccer team from here in Petersburg brought home first place from the Shamrock Tournament in Juneau last weekend. Petersburg took on five teams from Juneau and went 4-1 on Friday and on Saturday. Then on Sunday, the team came from behind to tie the championship game two goals apiece and then won 3-2 in overtime. It's the second tournament win for Petersburg at the annual event. I spoke with team member Brian Richards about how the weekend went.
So yeah, the first game was a 3-1 loss to White, and that was, the first game's always the hardest. It's a huge adjustment coming off of a little basketball court in which we play on to, you know, two-thirds the size of a soccer field. So we lost, but we fought, and then we just started turning it on. The next game was a 4-3 win against Purple. You know, people played good, and that was also actually kind of a lucky, we could have got a tie there. Rick Dormer had a goal with very little time left to give us that winning goal. Yeah, win against Green 5-3, win against Yellow 4-2, win against Red 4-1, and then the big championship game, which was a storybook ending. It was very exciting. Gosh, it was just, we couldn't do anything the first half, you know, 0-2. I think we were kind of deflated. And it was the team we lost to in the very beginning, and you know, they deserved to be in the championship. They played awesome. So at halftime, 0-2, kind of had our heads down, kind of wondering what we're doing out there. You know, kind of huddled up, and I went over. I'm like, hey, yeah, guys, let's just have some fun. And I remember Shane just saying, no, let's win this game. And I was like, yep, that's why he's MVP. Yeah, second half. Shane got the ball, I think maybe 5-6 minutes into the second half, and scored our first goal. And that really lit that fire, and we just turned it on. And then with very little time remaining in the game, Kyle Hebert had a nice shot in the corner to tie it up. And then we just held on, which was amazing, to put into extra time. And then with, I think, a minute and a half left in the extra time, Axel scored for the winning goal. So
tournament winning goal. So Axel's a lot younger than the rest of the participants. Did you hear anything from Juno this time around with him being the top scorer?
No, and I was kind of surprised that they voted him in as best scorer, top scorer, just because he is 18 years old and it's 30 and older for men. But Juno is very welcoming, you know, whatever they can do to get us there. And so they definitely let that slide, that Axel's so young. But, and, you know, it kind of works out because Juno, they have so much more time and experience on that field that, you know, you watch Petersburg and we're running all over the field, you know. And they play positional. Like, they know where to be and when to be there. So, it, I mean, I think it all worked out. I think it was pretty fair, honestly. Yeah, and a couple little stories on the side. Gosh, I forgot which game it was. I think it was the game against Red or maybe Yellow midway through. And I think this is a good example of how the team played and just kind of the character we had. But Alice comes over to me on the sideline when we're out there, and she's like, I can barely breathe, you know, because her throat was, like, closing up. She's getting a cold or something. But, you know, that's all she said. She didn't complain, you know. She just kept playing. She's like, I can barely breathe. I'm, like, retching out there, but she just keeps fighting. You know, I thought that was a good example of the spirit of the team. Tomas Kumps, if there was a save of the tournament, he was the goalie, he would have got it because he was falling backwards, hit the ball as he stumbled. It was like slow motion. He's stumbling backwards. The ball isn't cleared the goal. It's going to be a goal. I think it was the championship game, and just with that last little punch, he punched it out to save us. So that was amazing. Caitlin Duras, she was on defense. She was just constantly throwing herself around the whole tournament, just bruising the other team up. She played great for us. The list goes on and on. Sue and Suzanne, they were defenders for us from Juno. They played great. Just everybody. I was just so proud to, you know, have the honor of playing with everybody. They did great. It was awesome.
Petersburg also did well in individual honors at that competition. Richards won the Sportsmanship Award. Axel Vitas won the Top Goal Scorer Award. Shane Lohrer won the Tournament Male MVP. And former Petersburg resident and team member Kyle Hebert won the Best Defender Award. Electric rates in Sitka will likely be going up this fall after first going down by 2 cents. Sitka's assembly Tuesday night passed on first reading a 15% increase in electric rates for that town, and a seasonal rate structure intended to make electric bills more affordable in the wintertime. Robert Woolsey has more from Sitka.
City Hall says electric rates have to go up again in Sitka to pay debt on the Blue Lake Hydro Expansion Project. It's a predicament the city didn't expect to be in when it issued bonds for the project, when diesel fuel was expensive and electric loads were nearing maximum of Sitka's two existing hydro plants. But the rate increase doesn't have to be uniform. At the assembly's meeting on February 14th, Utility Director Brian Bertacci suggested that the rates could be structured to help out Sitkans strapped by high bills in winter. The assembly liked the idea, and it emerged in a pair of new ordinances, the first increasing rates by 15%, the second implementing the seasonal adjustment, which would drop residential rates to 12 cents per kilowatt hour beginning October 1st, then raise them to 19 cents in summer, when people generally use much less. Resident Harriet Belial didn't support another rate increase. She urged the assembly to look elsewhere. She said she lived with her daughter and struggled to pay the electric bills.
You won't really understand that till you're my age, 83 years old, and you have to live on a limited income, and the money doesn't go very far.
Member Tristan Gavon has advocated for subsidies to assist people in Belial's position. He estimated that 20% to 30% of Sitkans would find an additional increase in electric rates to be devastating. The assembly has set aside over $900,000 next year to provide electric rate subsidies to low-income Sitkans, but hasn't created a mechanism to distribute the money. Gavon said he would be reluctant to vote for the increase on second and final reading without some movement toward creating this safety net.
And I think it's something, you know, as a community, we need to hold each other up and recognize these are tough times, and those of us who can afford it to take on that, you know, that responsibility.
Member Aaron Bean has suggested allowing the Regulatory Commission of Alaska to audit Sitka's utility rates and perhaps to regulate them.
If one person's here to testify, there's probably 10 behind her and maybe even more. So I just ask the Assembly to consider supporting me and at least asking for that to happen.
But the support wasn't there, at least not among the four other members present. Mayor Matt Hunter said that turning over the local utility to the Regulatory Commission would require a vote of the people and provide no guarantees that rates would be lower.
The board has approved recent 22% rate hikes in Anchorage, large rate hikes in Juneau. I think the rates would be higher if the board was running it, because we can toe the line right at the 125% that we're required to meet the bond covenant, the debt service.
Nevertheless, Hunter was not excited about raising rates. He called it the worst part of his responsibility as a public official.
I've heard from many people in the community who are finding it increasingly difficult to live here, of all demographics and ages, and it pains me to hear people continually say, this next one's the straw that's going to break the camel's back. This is the last thing that's going to finally push me out of town.
The Assembly voted 4-1 with Bean opposed to pass both ordinances, but the rate increase and the seasonal adjustment won't be final until passed on second reading. The Assembly last raised electric rates in October of 2016 by 5%. The latest increase should be the last for some time, according to the Electric Department, except for adjustments based on the Consumer Price Index. Members Bob Petruski and Stephen Eisenbeis were absent. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Everyone in this community has a story. The Petersburg Listening Project seeks to honor our common ground and our diversity by creating an archive of oral histories. We encourage people to inquire and to listen to each other's life experiences by setting aside time for an interview, which will be recorded for posterity at the public library. In this interview excerpt, Jane Smith and Gina Esposito talk about working as archaeologists for the Forest Service in Southeast Alaska.
We're looking for remains that were left over by human beings. And so we're after bits and tools or what they left behind when they were, you know, butchering a deer or collecting, you know, shellfish from the beach, or if they were, you know, harvesting some type of bark from a tree. You know, we're looking for that kind of thing.
And would you say that you can find that up here, even though the weather's not great for preservation? Is it trickier up here because it's not dry?
I would say it's trickier because a lot of the things will deteriorate. Plant materials will deteriorate. However, Gina and I, one of our favorite things is to find shell middens. And shell middens are the discarded shells that people collected and then, you know, harvested the meat from. And they threw them out around their houses. And the shells are, they act as a neutralizer to the sediments in the soil. And so the sediments aren't as acidic. And so things are preserved in shell middens. So you can find bone and fiber stuff in shell midden, whereas if it was not in a shell midden, it would rot.
Yeah, and another site type that we find and record a lot of is prehistoric wood stake fish traps or stone fish traps, and the tidal sediments are really good at preserving, you know, the remains of the fish traps.
Yeah, we've been on just about every island in Central Southeast, and we've circumnavigated Kuyu Island in a 14-foot whaler off the Chugach Ranger boat, you know, so it would be staged. But we were in that little whaler going into every bay and zooming all around. There's shell midden sites everywhere, Julie, and in almost every little cove with a nice beach.
Well, we've had really great times. Maybe there's been a few heavy boat. When we were out on the Sitka Ranger boat, and I got really sick from seasickness. We were out on Outer Baranof, and
we got into the 16 to 20 foot seas on the Sitka Ranger boat,
and we couldn't turn around.
It was kind of scary.
I mean, we were safe because we had a great skipper, but we just had to ride it out, and we got, and it was hours and hours and hours.
But a good one. Remember when we went to this village site, and there had been a recent survey because the village site was going to be a Sea Alaska property. And so we were going to go there and make sure that the Forest Service had surveyed around the proper, you know, site area. And I remember we walked into the woods and it was, I don't know, it was pretty early in the morning and it was still, it was overcast. And there's these wolves started howling. Do you remember that? There was these big house depressions and we were on this old village site. And that was really cool. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then we had these soil augers. And if you blow into the end of the soil auger, which is how we find our shell midden sites, it will go.
Yeah, blowing into them doesn't make you find the shell midden site. You have to put those into the ground. But for fun, we often blow into the handles. Well,
we were
to
blowing
make this cool
we
whistle,
were making the whistle, and then the wolves were howling.
I remember that. And then the same trip, I remember recording a shell midden, and all those river otters were swimming by, like
hiking experiences.
Hiking. But we've done a lot of our share of whacking through the brushy hillsides of like Huyu Island, for instance, where you can't barely get through it, and sitting with the rain pouring on us. We're out in all kinds of weather, but the Tongass is amazing, and we've had a lot of good experiences.
The Listening Project is waiting for your story. Contact the public library to learn more, or call Julie Hersey, Listening Project Coordinator, at 518-0789. You can also access the entire interview and others on the Listening Project blog on the Petersburg Public Library website, psglib.org.
Coming up on KFSK Street Beat Music, Chris Lopez, your host this afternoon, and at 2:30 at Sideline Sports, High Country Music with Pete Brandt to us at 2:40. And then at 4 o'clock, All Things Considered, local news and updated weather at 4:30. And at 5 o'clock, we bring you a live broadcast of 2A State Basketball, Petersburg Vikings taking on the Tikigak Harpooners up in Anchorage. Following that, Alaska News Nightly on around 7 o'clock tonight. It's Classic with Matt Lenhardt at 7:30. At 9 o'clock, Selected Shorts, and 10 o'clock, Radio Free Petersburg with your host, Chris Weiss. Coming up next, the weather forecast and local messages.
Support comes from Lee's Clothing, inviting you to register for Fit for Life, running from Monday, March 20th through April 15th. Fit for Life, helping you to have fun, get fit, and have a happy spring. At Lee's Clothing, open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30.
37 degrees outside. The forecast for today is for widespread snow showers, little or no accumulation, and highs in the mid-30s with light winds. Scattered snow showers also tonight, lows around 30 and southeast winds to 10 miles per hour. For tomorrow, numerous rain and snow showers, little or no accumulation, highs around 40 tomorrow, winds out of the southeast to 20 miles per hour. Scattered snow showers tomorrow night, lows around 30, east winds to 15 miles per hour. On Saturday, cloudy, highs in the mid-30s, northeast winds to 10 miles per hour. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-20s. Sunday, snow likely, highs around 40, and then a mixture of snow and rain likely that night with lows around 30. Rain and snow mixing Monday into Monday night as well, highs around 40 and lows around 30. And then just a chance of snow for Tuesday into Tuesday night, and then Wednesday, cloudy skies. We'll see highs during the day down up around 40 and lows overnight down around 30. Here's the marine forecast. A low pressure will persist in the central Gulf as a front lifts northward into the eastern Gulf and the southern panhandle by tonight. Inside water, Stevens Passage, southeast 15 knot winds today, becoming north by the afternoon, 3 foot seas, snow, showers, and rain. For tonight, right through tomorrow night, north winds 20 knots, seas at 4 feet. Southern Chatham Strait, southeast winds today 15 knots, 4-foot seas except 8 feet near ocean entrances. For tonight, northeast 20-knot winds and 4-foot seas except 7 feet near ocean entrances. Then for tomorrow into tomorrow night, northeast 15-knot winds, seas 3 feet except 6 feet near ocean entrances. Frederick Sound, east winds today 15 knots and seas 3 feet. Tonight into tomorrow, east winds 20 knots, seas at 4 feet. And for tomorrow night, east winds at 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Sumner Strait Small Craft Advisory tonight, winds out of the east today 15 knots, 4-foot seas. Tonight, east winds 25 knots and seas 5 feet. Tomorrow into tomorrow night, east winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. Clarence Strait Small Craft Advisory, late this afternoon through tonight, southeast winds today increasing to 25 knots by the late afternoon, seas 5 feet. For tonight, right through tomorrow night, southeast 25-knot winds and seas 6 feet, down to 5 feet by tomorrow. One addition to the Legislative Information Office schedule for opportunities to listen in on committees and presentations going on in the state legislature. 1 p.m. today, House Transportation, hearing a Southeast Conference presentation on the Alaska Marine Highway Reform Project. That's at 1 o'clock. You can listen in at the LIO. Also on the schedule for later today, 1 o'clock, Senate Finance continues taking statewide public testimony on next year's operating budgets. That's listen in only for Petersburg today. Then at 1:30, Senate Labor and Commerce will take public testimony on a couple of bills, Senate Bill 71 on commercial fishing loans and Senate Bill 75, limited teacher certificates and languages. And a note about the Senate Finance Committee, Petersburg's chance for testimony on the operating budgets comes up tomorrow from 3:15 to 4:15 in the Petersburg area. Testimony on the General Operating Budget, Senate Bill 22, and the Mental Health Operating Budget, Senate Bill 24. Public testimony limited to 2 minutes. You must be signed in at the LIO by 4 p.m., and you can also email written testimony to finance.committee@akleg.gov. The LIO is down at 11B Joa Street. Call them at 772-3741 for more information. Moving on to the community calendar, Muskeg message to jurors for the month of March. Your services are not required this month, and this concludes your term of jury duty. Thanks from the Petersburg Trial Courts. Happy birthday today on the 16th of March to Stan Malcolm, Jerry Lutton, Kathy Bracken, Charlie McCullough, Kenny Birch, Lauren McDonald, Melena Marvin, and Kim Niedefer. Happy birthday. Petersburg Humane Association is in urgent need of foster home for a mama kitty and her 7 newborn kittens, or someone who can foster the shelter's 2 older cats. Foster location just needs to be a warm, quiet space. Humane Association will supply all of the food and litter, and the need is urgent to open up a space at the shelter. More information at the Humane Association Facebook page or call 518-1091. Reminder, no Parks and Rec kids soccer tonight and tomorrow for spring break week. See you next week. Pick up adult soccer games happen Thursday nights, 7:30 to 9 p.m. Players always needed. And also the adult exercise classes for today and tomorrow morning. Today, bench step aerobics, 6 p.m. at Parks and Rec. And that's advanced bench step aerobics. Then tomorrow morning, bright and early, mat Pilates, 5:45 at MDT Studios. Tai Chi at 7 a.m. at Mountain View Manor. Also, Middle Eastern movement at 10 a.m. at MDT and Zumba at 8:15. Special for E&E dining tonight at Burger Night is baby back ribs, also cookie decorating for the kids and a coloring contest in honor of St. Patty's Day. Winner receives a gift certificate for a free kids dinner. And looking ahead, St. Patrick's Day parade is tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Line up in front of Trading Union at 3:45. All Emblem Club members and Lady Elks are invited to a no-host ladies' night out at the Elks tomorrow night, 5:30, to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And this weekend, Little League tryouts are Saturday, March 18th at the high school.